Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilli, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Coming up 1 hour from now, Nick Sirianni, his first press conference midweek as the Eagles have their first practice today to get ready for the Rams. We'll hear from Sirianni coming up around 12:05. Elliot Shore Parks later in the show. We got to get to the fallout of the Packer fan gone viral and the Eagle fan and the nonsense that happened over the weekend and really what's happened since. We need Hugh's take on that coming up in a little bit as well. But right now, Kyle, we go out to the guest line to bring on our guy, Seth Joyner, on a big week here in Philadelphia.
And Seth, sponsored by the BetParks app, new users get up to $1,000 casino bonus back. BetParks.com for details. Must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER.
Seth, how we doing today?
Seth.
I'm always good, fellas. What's happening?
What's going on, man?
Nothing, man.
Well, Seth.
Looking forward to Saturday and Sunday, bro.
Oh, can't wait. But maybe the best weekend of the year in football, Seth. And we got a big one against the Rams. Seth, let's look back and then we'll look forward. Eagles win over the Packers, and they did it 22-10. It could have been more if Saquon ran for the touchdown at the end. Seth, let's start with the defensive side because that's the side that continues to be the story for the Eagles. Seth, what did they do to hold down the Packers, a team that was scoring 27 points a game, and it felt like they couldn't move the football at times at all?
Well, listen, they've been doing what they've been doing all season long. You know, I don't think, you know, people give Vic Fangio and his staff enough credit for how they developed this young team. But you got a team that ranked damn near last in every statistical category last year, right on through the playoffs, to a team that's the number one ranked defense in total yards and number one against the pass, number 10 against the run. It's just, you know, they beat you in a myriad of ways. They mix it up with different players doing it from week to week. And the Eagles are a complete team from special teams to defense, you know, right on to offense. And you know, when you got a complete team like that that lifts all three phases, lifts up the other phase, you know, they're a hard team to beat. That's just what it is.
Seth, what did you make of the pass game on the offensive side on Sunday? And really, the question I have, because I've heard different things, right? Some people are like, hey, the pass game needs to be better. Jalen Hurts went a couple quarters without a completion there, started well, ended better, but in the middle it was not much. And then I've heard some people this week looked at the film and said, there really weren't many guys open and criticizing the scheme more. When you watched the game, what did you feel about Jalen Hurts' performance, which obviously was good enough to win, and he didn't turn the ball over again, which he's been great at for a few months now. But what did you notice watching it? Was there more there in the past game he didn't get to, or was it not much there this past Sunday?
No, I think they did a good job of not letting us take the top off the defense and get over top. They also did a good job, you know, playing match zone against us. And a lot of that you can't see during the game. You can only see it. I had Jaws on my podcast last night and we were talking about it. You really can't see a lot until you get to the all 22 where you can really see what's going on the field. It'll help you define so many things, not only who's open and who's not open, but also, you know, what's trying to be accomplished. You know, during the pass play, you know, everybody wants to say, oh, you know, Jalen missed this guy. He was wide open over here. Well, if that guy's on the left side of the field and Jalen's progression starts from the right to the left side, it stands to reason that, you know, a lot of times he's not going to get back to the left side. And a lot of it will have to do also with, okay, you know, if protection breaks down, which it did a little bit last week, he's certainly not going to get back to the left side, you know. So you've got gurus that are spitting knowledge or think that they're spitting knowledge on social media by putting up stills and, you know, talking about what was missed and what was missed. And I'm like, you don't have a clue, you know, how that play was designed and how that play was supposed to operate. Now, did he miss some? Absolutely. There's not a single football, there's not a quarterback that plays the perfect game that doesn't miss anything. Every quarterback misses something. Every quarterback has an off throw. But what gets exasperated when you only put the ball in the air 21, you know, to 24 times is that when the numbers aren't there, people are disillusioned into believing that, you know, the quarterback had a bad day. Listen, he started off 6 for 6 for 39 yards and a touchdown. Okay, that's set up by the special teams. Then he went blank for like 7 plays. And then when it really mattered, when it was nut crunching time, he went 8 for 9 for 92 yards and another touchdown to seal the game for the team. That's good enough for a run-centric team. And the most important thing is moving on to the next week. We can't worry about whether Jalen's going to be the weakest link or whether we need to pass more until we get into a game where he actually needs to pass more. And what has he done when put in that position? He's played better.
Well, let's talk about that the next week, which is the game obviously coming up against the Rams on Sunday. Seth, let's start with the challenge of playing a team a second time in a season. And a lot of times that will happen, obviously, in the division, but this is a non-division team for the second time during the season. What's the challenge like there for the Eagles? Because they got the way better of the Rams last time, 37-20. They ran all over them. That game was not close by the end. This one could be different. It could be similar. We'll see. What's the challenge there when you face a team and a good coach like Sean McVay a second time?
Well, the challenge for the offense is going to be, okay, this defense is a lot better than it was the last time you played them. That being said, we're still a better offensive unit than they are a defensive unit. We mauled the hell out of them and did what we wanted to do in the running game. And they, oh, no, by the way, A.J. Brown still had 100 yards receiving. So I think a lot of, you can't take this team for granted and think that things are going to be the same way. And I'm sure that there's enough veterans, there's enough coaching leadership to express this to these young guys that, hey, that game was that game. This is a whole different ball of wax, okay? They still should dominate. They're going to get up in a and they're going to load the box, 7-8-man front. They're going to dare Jalen Hurts to beat him with his arm. They're going to try to stop Saquon. That's what got him in trouble before, because if you hit it just right, and you play by the numbers where you can get each guy with a hat on a hat and run away from the, you know, maybe the weak side defensive end or that safety that drops in the box on the weak side, you run away from him and you get man-to-man across the board blocking. That's where Saquon is, you know, second level, and maybe the only guy that's left is a safety, and I like my chances with that happening. We're probably going to see that, but they're going to challenge Jalen to throw the football. And he's going to have to answer the toll like he always does. Defensively, you know, listen, they're healthy. You know, when we played in the last time, for the most part, Nakua was in and out, Cooper was Cup was in and out. The tight end, we got banged up last game. Higbee was out. He's a big part of what they do. And even Matthew Stafford had been beat up and banged up from time to time. They're completely healthy. This offense doesn't scare me in the sense that I'm afraid that they don't have that speed guy to just run away from you. You know, what scares me is the fact that they've got all their pieces back. And, you know, we at times have been the type of defense where we will sit back and play off coverage and give up, you know, 8 to 10 yard out routes. I'm not afraid of the speed of this team. And what I'd like to see is for our cornerbacks to get up and continue to challenge these wide receivers, you know, at the line of scrimmage and force Matt Stafford to throw perfect passes, especially in man coverage, because you've got good safeties. They can give you help over the top. You're not worried about one of these guys running away from you. So don't get passive now. Stay aggressive and put the pressure on them. And, of course, the most important thing, you're going to have to stop the run, which, you know, the Eagles have been doing all year long. But, you know, to me, those are kind of the key elements of the game and, you know, the things that the Eagles, you know, have to be make sure that they don't allow to get away from them.
Joiner with us here in the midday show as we get set for Division Round weekend. All right, Seth, let's close with this. The Eagles, if they win, are heading to the title game, and they'll take on the winner of the Commanders and the Lions. They'll play Saturday night. Obviously, if the Commanders could pull an upset, we would get a home title game. What kind of chance do you give the Commanders? They're big underdogs, but man, Seth, we've seen it all year. We saw it when they played the Eagles twice. Jaden Daniels is a different kind of rookie quarterback. Do you give the Commanders a shot? What do you think in that game Saturday in Detroit?
I give anybody a shot, you know, especially when you got a quarterback like that and, you know, you got a team on the rise. Detroit has not been infallible, you know, all season long. They've been extremely lucky. There's been some games that they probably should have lost that they didn't lose. You know that Dan Campbell and his staff, and Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, they're going to have them ready to play. But I think that Dan Quinn's going to have his guys ready to play too. And while Detroit, you know, is going to be the favorite because they're at home and so on and so forth, I think it's going to be an interesting matchup, especially, you know, Washington's defense. Their defensive line, now that they're at full strength, against the Detroit Lions, you know, vaunted offensive line. You know, it's and Dan Quinn is such a good defensive mind. You know, when you play, Detroit is a funny team because they are the combination of both the finesse team and the physical team. And you have to ask yourself, you know, when you're watching, you have to break it down. They come in with the two extra linemen. They try to run the ball down your throat. Yet they will finesse you at times with play-action pass and try to get Jared Goff throwing it all over the map if they think they can carve you up that way. And they morph back and forth through those two identities the entire game. Your defensive coordinator, when you're playing against them, you got to be able to identify that and have something for, you know, you got to be able to morph with them. I think that Dan Quinn can, you know, and I think that I give him a pretty darn good shot at winning this game. It'll be competitive. It's not going to be easy, but yeah, it's going to be competitive. And we'll just see how it all plays out. Nothing would be grander than to get those Commanders one more time, or Hugh likes to call them
the Commodores.
Give me them Commodores and you know, here at the link one more time. That would be pretty darn awesome.
Oh, it'd be incredible. Home NFC Championship game. Seth, we appreciate hopping on. Enjoy the rest of the week, and we'll talk next Wednesday, hopefully getting ready for a championship game for the Eagles. Thank you, Seth.
No, hopefully, man. It's happening. Live and in color.
Love it. Can't wait. And there he is, Seth Joyner with us. We'll talk to him again next week, getting ready for the Eagles and somebody. How about that, Hugh? He's with you. Those Commodores, as you would call them, what a real fighting chance on Saturday in Detroit.
I tell you, Joe, I the more and more I think about it, it would be bananas if they were able to go in there and figure out a way to win that game. Again, I looked at the schedule of the Detroit Lions. Ain't seen no cat like this, man. He can stress a defense. Like, he can truly stress a defense. And the Commodores have a good enough running game where, you know, he could be a whole problem. He could definitely be a whole problem. I'm talking about the quarterback, the young quarterback. He could be a whole problem.
Yeah, Jaden. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. They have enough of a passing game where they could – excuse me, running game where they could be – they could control the clock and put them in a situation where, you know, that quarterback, Jared Goff, has to throw the ball all over the schoolyard. And we've seen if he has games like that, he throw the ball too much, Joe, he might turn it over, you know?
Well, these games, you know, especially at this point of the season, one turnover here or there flips the whole game. I mean, we saw that Sunday. I mean, that opening kickoff fumble, you and I both, Hugh, driving home, we heard the roar of the crowd on the call on the radio. You knew something was the game was changing right there. Your one big play could change everything. 215-592-9494. All right, let's get back to the phone lines here. Did everything that happened wildcard weekend change how you feel about the Eagles and a Super Bowl run here? Yes or no? We'll have Sirianni's press conference coming up at 12 o'clock today. Let's grab Sonny. And I want to throw a hypothetical at both Hugh and Kyle and everyone that I heard a little bit yesterday when I was driving home listening to the afternoon show. Sonny in Philly. Hey,
yo.
Sonny.
Hey, how are you?
Sonny.
It's
what's
always
up?
Sonny in Philadelphia. All right?
That's right, Sonny. What's up, buddy? I like that.
All right. This is going to be like Zach Galifianakis between two ferns. Let me get the seven sentences, and then I'll hang up. All right, long-time listener, first-time caller. Jalen, did y'all like what y'all need to see? That should be a soundbite. How crazy is it that a man from Houston and a man from the Bronx are taking us there? Which, you know, Saquon Barkley and Jalen. Enjoy the present. We could be talking about pickleball right now. Jalen's a counterpuncher. He does what he needs to do to win. All right? We got to realize that. The guy talks real calm, cool, and collected and everything, and he gets us to where we need to be. It's a good time right now in Philadelphia to be an Eagles fan. And the last thing I'm going to leave you with, are you guys still there?
Yeah, we listen.
Well, we're here, Sonny.
This is it. F. Ryan Caldwell. Now I'll let you go. Have a great day.
Sonny, you got it, buddy.
What's the Ryan Caldwell thing? I think that's Buddy that
he's
that
the Eagles
the guy,
fan.
Yeah, that acted up.
Oh, the one that everyone found out who he was. I got that.
Yeah.
We're gonna dive into that story coming up in a little bit. were you guys counting sentences? I feel like that was more than seven sentences. Am I wrong on that?
No, I wasn't paying attention. Man, come on, man. You know I wasn't paying attention. I let him speak.
That was kind of brutal.
Yeah, I just let him. You
okay. Was that a poem, or did he think he had notes?
Well, I've seen it's
the
Zach Galifianakis. He had this show called Between Two Ferns, which was pretty funny. Yeah. His show was funny. That delivery was not. I mean, but hey, thank you. Thank you for listening.
That was pretty unfunny.
Yeah, thank you for listening.
Okay, I've been listening. It was his first time calling. I mean, should we give him a break?
No, he get a pass. Okay. But it wasn't funny, you know?
I couldn't follow along if it was seven bullet points followed by paragraphs afterwards, or just because I think that was more than seven sentences, Kyle. That felt like more than seven.
It was a lot.
It was more than seven sentences. I was just trying to keep track of
the sentences. Without a punctuation too, probably.
Yeah, no, that just it was something else. All right, let me throw a hypothetical at you, Hugh, because I was listening to the afternoon show yesterday as I drove home, and Hugh, they were discussing the idea of, do the Eagles need to be more aggressive? And really, in Spike's point was that they've gotten conservative here, and I think he was speaking more on Sirianni, not so much Jalen Hurts, right? You know, we want Jalen to protect the football, and if it's not there, he's not going to put it in harm's way. But the thought was, Hugh, remember early in that game, they had like a 4th and 3 or 4 on like I think it was the Packers 45 or 46, you know, an area of the field where I would say a lot in the recent past, earlier this season, they probably go for that, and Sirianni chose to punt there. Hugh, what do you make of it? The Eagles have gotten more conservative, I would say, since, I don't know, middle of the season. Remember that game against Jacksonville with Sirianni? We all ripped him for taking 9 points off the board. The game against the Saints where he was going for 4th downs left and right. Have we gone too far the other way with conservative play calling and punting rather than, you know, putting the foot on the gas? Where do you come down, Hugh?
I think Coach Sirianni – I'm going to long talk a little bit, Joe. So
okay,
just,
go
just
ahead. Yeah, go for it.
I think Coach Sirianni has evolved as a coach. I think he's become a better coach. I think he's become more focused as a coach. So with that being said, the fact that he is not as aggressive as he's been in the past, we've benefited tremendously from that, for him probably putting a little bit more thought into some of the moves that he's made. I still think that is there. You know, you don't just suppress that aggressive gene all the way where it won't rear its ugly head. But I think this is a strategy, you know, for Coach Sirianni moving forward. Whatever it is, in a one game sampling size, they've done enough to win the game but not show their hand, if you will. Now, the reason why we as Eagle fans get upset with this team is because we know what they're capable of. You know, we know what we've seen in the past, and I feel like that's why Jalen gets so much ire, because we've seen in the past Jalen play better. But the last couple of weeks, I think they've done just enough to get the job done, and they're being more calculating in some of the things that they're doing. I'm okay with that. As long as it keeps us advancing, I'm okay with Coach Sirianni being a little conservative. Because going into that game against the Detroit Lions, when we get there, that's where it's going to call to pull out all the stops, I believe.
Yep.
Because you know what Coach Daniels is going to do up there.
Well, he's not going to punt. I mean,
he taking advantage of every opportunity he gets.
Yep. Yeah, foot on the gas the whole time. You know, 0 to 60 in 10 seconds. So here's where I come down on this. I just need, and I think you alluded to this, Hugh, I need Sirianni to read the room. And that's why I was frustrated with him against the Saints and against the Jaguars, because I thought he was being aggressive in games he didn't need to be. You know, those teams in those games really weren't moving the football. His defense was playing so well. And I was fine with the punt last week against the Packers because I thought his defense was in control. I just need him to read the game correctly. Kyle, you know, I'm usually more for aggression than I am, you know, punting. But, yeah, like, if the defense is dominating, I'm okay with the punt and not setting up the other team. Now, well, like you just said, next week against the Lions, the first possession of the game, if they're on the 46, I don't know if I want to punt, right? I might need to go score as much as I can to win that game. So that's where I think it's every game is its own thing. But I'm okay. I was okay with that punt, you know, the other day against the Packers.
Well, you can look at the trust of the defense in, I think, a few different ways. If you trust them enough, then yeah, sure, you're okay with punting. But also, do you trust them enough to leave them with potentially a short field if you don't convert on a fourth down? I mean, I do, personally. So that's how I would view it. Like, if I had a chance to be aggressive, then I think the risk is worth the reward just with how well the defense is playing.
Well, and they've played phenomenally. And you put them back, sometimes they'll get you the ball right back, and you're at midfield already. So we'll see how Sirianni plays it on Sunday. And obviously, a lot of it will depend on how the Eagles' defense is shutting down the Rams early in the game. 215-592-9494. All right, we'll have Sirianni coming up, press conference at around noon today. Did everything that happened Wildcard Weekend change how you feel about an Eagles Super Bowl run? Yes or no? Back to all your phone calls. We got everyone coming up. And Wildcard Weekend, it didn't make me feel better. It made Hugh kind of feel the same. Where are you at? Plus, we want to play something Michael Irvin said in reaction to A.J. Brown on Sunday. You're going to want to hear this. Michael Irvin, a guy that was known to play with a lot of emotion, his feeling on A.J. Brown on Sunday. Plus, Kyle's telling me that I missed something that happened already on the show today that we need to replay. All right, I don't know what this is. Maybe it's something silly I did. We'll get to that. Something that I missed on the show already today. Maybe you guys missed it too. We'll have that coming up. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. It is the Midday Show, as always, right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. And let's talk about my friends over at FanDuel. Get ready to elevate your game this NFL playoff season with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Right now, all customers get a no-sweat, same-game NFL parlay for any game. Just place a three-leg NFL same-game parlay, and you'll get bonus bets back if your bet doesn't win. Same-game parlays are the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payday. Build your own or choose from one of the popular same-game parlays pre-built for you in FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. So what are you waiting for? Get your no-sweat same-game parlay on America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel.com/GIGLIL. FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.
you see yourself in A.J. Brown.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. That's why when everybody said, what is he doing here for? I said, the man is totally focused. This is totally focused. I'm focused on my energy being good energy for the team, and I'm going to focus on me, and I know I can't let this situation take over me. I understand it because he and I are the same dude. I understand what he was doing right there, and I think all of us, a lot of receivers need to learn it. And even do this right here, what he's doing, because it really is brilliant. They got through the game, and he was out there joking when Saquon didn't go all the way and run. You know what I mean? So he it put him back in the right frame of mind, even though he only got one pass. I don't know if the book could have helped me with one pass in a playoff game, but it helped him. And that's good. That's good.
The voices of Michael Irvin and Colin Cowherd. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, Kyle Quinn behind the glass. 215-592-9494. Nick Sirianni coming up at 12:05 today. Maybe we'll get some news on if that guy is going to practice this week, A.J. Brown. Right back to your calls in a second here. Did everything that happened Wild Card Weekend change how you feel about the Eagles making a Super Bowl run? Yes or no? Hugh, what'd you make of that was interesting. Irvin saying he kind of saw himself in A.J. and then the way maybe they're both emotional players. And he liked what A.J. did with the book.
Yeah, because I did too. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, when we talked about it and I saw it, I had the initial reaction that everybody else did. I was like, wow, he did that on purpose. And that's when I started to, you know, dig a little deeper, find out about the book, look at some of the reviews, and then go online and just see what other people's thought process was. And that's exactly what he did. You would rather – see, AJ's in a precarious position right now. It's because everything that he does, it gets magnified. And sometimes it gets magnified for the negative because a lot of people don't have the depth. I'm not taking shots at anybody, but it's the truth. A lot of people don't have the depth to look beyond what they see. You know, because I saw a lot of pundits on television the other day. They saw it, and they immediately thought it was a negative. Now, knowing what we know about AJ, if he would have acted a fool, he would have played into the narrative that they've already spun for him. You know, and but instead, he read the book, and he centered himself. He got back to where he needed to be because maybe he was frustrated. I don't think it's a far stretch to say that he was frustrated. He only had one catch during the game. But he refocused, and he didn't do anything that was detrimental to the team. But when you hear other people talk about it and when they have something to say about it, it is detrimental to the team. How? He saw himself getting outside of himself, and he knew that in that moment it was not called for. So what did he do? He went back to something that allowed him to center himself. He read a book on the sideline and got back to where he needed to be, and the team won. But he doesn't get a pass because to a lot of people, he's already a canceler. He's already a bad guy. And instead of looking at it like for what it really was, he didn't want he's an emotional guy. He didn't want his emotion to take over and mess up the moment. So I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I didn't either. Especially when, like you said, and we kind of dove into it on Monday, and it's been talked about the last couple of days, what that book was, and boy, that author is probably the happiest guy in the world.
Oh,
right
no,
now.
Oh no, he's blown up. He's blown up now. Yeah,
I know. I see him doing interviews. The one thing that, yeah, he is. Hugh, the one thing I think is really interesting from the way you thought it could have played out versus it did. Let's just say he doesn't have the book. He doesn't read the book. He is frustrated on the sideline. Hugh, he may be and I don't know what he was feeling, but if he was frustrated and he did act out on the sideline instead of reading, he may have just been frustrated that he's not feeling himself, right? We know he's not. He wasn't running himself, but it would have come off as he's upset at the quarterback, he's upset at the offense, just throw me the damn ball, the old Keyshawn Johnson thing. Like, there's a million reasons for AJ to maybe feel some frustration on Sunday. Like you said, he only had one catch, but I don't think it would have come off. Like, no one would have known why he was annoyed. It would have just been, oh, he's annoyed again, even though this time it might just be his knees bothering him and he can't run the same way he normally does.
I would venture to say it's the latter, Joe. I think that when you talk about a guy of his caliber and how he sees himself and perceives himself, he wants to be one of the guys that's a heavy contributor to the success of the football team. Yeah. That's basically what Mike Irvin was talking about, how in a playoff game he was a non-factor. That's probably how AJ felt, knowing that he wasn't 100% and he was a non-factor for the most part. But he is a factor because his presence out there means a lot. And that's probably what he had to work through. And you know what else I did when I saw that? I looked at his teammates around him to see what their reaction was. And to be honest, because who was it? Schmitty was sitting right beside him. Schmitty, it was like it was no big deal. Like, that's why I felt like it was not a thing, because it felt to me the Schmitty's reaction was something of, this is something he's seen before. You know, I know Jalen said he hadn't seen him read the book before, but hell, if we're being honest, Jalen sits on the other side of the bench by himself for the most part, so how would he see it? But when Jalen said that, a lot of people took that and ran with it. Oh, you know, Jalen's trying to say he lied. No, Jalen was being honest, because he was like, hell, he sits on the other side of the bench. So I just think that sometimes, especially when you have a player like him, you need to give him the benefit of the doubt, because he's said a lot. He's been through a lot. And he's a guy that I think for the most part is misunderstood, because I hear a lot of people talk about, when they talk about AJ, malcontent, cancer, and all other stuff, and I don't think that's fair. I think he's a passionate person. I think he wears his heart on his sleeves. But at the end of the day, he wants to win.
So here's my question now. Should the three of us start having books when we're all having some, you know, challenging times? Like on Fridays,
yeah,
when people call you out and call you plant-based and everything, you
yeah,
scared. And
definitely.
When Jay in West Philly calls me and wants to argue with every point I make, when callers are making Kyle lose his mind behind the glass, should we now have books in studio, Hugh, to just center ourselves during the show? Maybe it would help us.
You know what it is? You know what's funny? Because I talked to my cousin about a week ago, and he said, a lot of times you don't need a book. You just do the slow chuckle. You know, when you're trying to recenter
you
yourself.
You do that a lot. You're good at the slow chuckle, would you?
You just go, I heard that, you know. Something like that, because you just
you're
yourself.
Better at the slow chuckle.
You
got to
do the slow chuckle, man, because at the end of the day, it's bad for chemistry. You know what I mean? Sometimes,
sure,
especially when you're trying to win, it's bad for chemistry. You just got to go ahead and let it be what it is. Do the slow chuckle and just keep it moving. So that's what he did.
Keep moving. All right. We're going to keep track of Hugh's slow chuckles and my yells instead of reading books. Our Twitter question, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about it and schedule your evaluation, PIDentalCenter.com. All right, let's get to the phones here, your phone calls. And about 10 minutes from now, apparently I missed something already on the show today. I must not be locked in, because I missed something that Kyle wants to replay for us.
They'll cook your bacon and take care of your baby girl, man. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's why you guys are here to help me out. Bruce, what's up, buddy?
With
the doctor in the store. If you don't turn that damn TV down,
work
man.
Again?
I'm here.
If you don't turn that TV down, man.
No, that wasn't TV. I was actually on a discussion right quick.
No, but Bruce is making that bread, Hugh. I mean, he's working.
Okay, okay. My bad, Bruce, my bad.
That's right. Hey, but look, but hey, man, I'm so glad. I'm just so glad that we're talking about this. Man, hey, man, come on, man. You plant-based about Sunday? I mean, I don't get it.
I am a little plant-based. Yeah, I am. I mean, Bruce, I'm a little worried about this one. Yep.
Well, you know what? See, here's the thing. And Kyle, you know, made a good point earlier about why he's not worried. And I'm pretty much subscribed to that. And a couple of other things right off the bat. You know, for one thing, here's the thing. People are bent out of shape because of the performance of the Rams. And that should be a non-factor. First of all, that offensive line for Minnesota, they're not going to be able to do that against our offensive line. And again, it's the defense and our ball control, and we know how to beat them. Other factors, and this is the other thing that's not really talked about too much, aside from the weather, is their lead tight end get hurt in the game. You know, he got knocked out. He got some kind of chest contusion. He's not going to be 100%.
Apparently he was spitting up blood after the game, McVay said.
Yeah,
so we'll see what his status is.
Yeah, and he was the one that was killing him. So I don't think he's going to even be available. So with that said, there is no way in the world, just with all those factors involved, the weather involved, this is going to be like Hugh said. Hey, you know, this is a business decision type of game. And I'm telling you, I predicted my last prediction was 31-13. This one, is my prediction again is but this time it's going to be 27. I'm going 27-13. 27-13.
Oh, another blowout.
Look,
it could happen, Bruce, but man, when the other team has a coach like that and a quarterback like that, I don't feel as strongly as I did last week. Eagles should still win this game, but I've got nerves. I mean, you know it, Bruce. I've got them.
No, it's a legit. I'm not looking past them, but I'm just looking at the matchups on defense. They are not going to be our defense is going to I'll entertain that for a hot minute. Now, here's the thing where that could change, right? And this is the reason why I think it's a mistake for everybody to say, you know what, we got this defense and good running game. If we have one or two injuries or incidents where we lose one or two key players to that game to the conditions, now the dynamics change. And this is the reason why, you know, we cannot settle and say, okay, we're just going to rely on a running game. What I'm going to be looking for is for Kellen Moore and to the extent Sirianni be more aggressive on play calling and get some better plays. We got to get some stuff going up the field, in the middle of the field. There were hardly any
passes. Well, and we rarely, and Bruce, we rarely do that. I mean, they don't use the middle of the field much. And Bruce, we appreciate it. He was mentioning the Rams defense there. And, you know, we know the last time we faced them, we ran all over him. Saquon, that was the game he kind of put himself in the MVP mix. How much credence do you put in how much their defense has improved? Because, Hugh, you look at their numbers since they played the Eagles, right? So they lost to the Eagles on November 24th. The Eagles scored 37. Next week, they beat the Saints 21-14. All right. The next week, they got in that shootout with Buffalo, and it was a really high-scoring game. They allowed 42 points.
Mm-hmm.
But since then, here is the points allowed for the Rams. 6 against the 49ers, 9 against the Jets, 9 against the Cardinals. I don't count week 18 because they sat their starters. And then the playoff game a few days ago, they allowed 9. So, Hugh, they haven't allowed even 10 points in a game since December 8th. I don't know if that's just a hot run because they faced some teams that weren't that good or if they turned their defense around. It's rare you see a team in the NFL allowed less than 10 points for one month straight. That's pretty good.
Yeah, but did they get bigger since the last time we saw them?
I doubt it.
Did they get stronger during the course of the season? Because that was the thing, Joe. We leaned on them. We beat them up front. And if they're going to have to try to figure out how to beat us schematically. Because if we go man for man, mano a mano, they're not big enough up front. Unless something's changed where the blocking techniques or, you know, they decide not to play on the line of scrimmage and just shoot gaps and just hope for the best or something like that. That's the only way I see them being able to match up with us physically. And, you know, it's not like our offensive linemen are slow. They're pretty quick guys. So I don't feel like they're going to be – the matchup doesn't favor them up front. That's what I'm trying to say. So you're going to have to be creative in the way that you call that game in order to generate pressure and even some run blitzes. Because the one thing that I would say if I'm the Rams that I do not want to happen, I don't want to get Saquon Barkley going downhill. So in order for me to stop that from happening, I gotta blitz him on rundown sometimes. I gotta pick my poison and I gotta get after him a little bit. Gotta be real crafty in the way that I call this defense coming up this weekend.
Let's talk to Marv in Northeast Philly. What's up, Marv?
Hey, how's it going, y'all?
Hey, Marv. What's up, buddy?
Living the dream, man. I'm not worried about this game, but I'm not going to take it easy. I'm not going to take it light. Like, oh, yeah, the Eagles is going to go in there and blow them out. Because this is the playoffs. This is any given Sunday. And we have to be vigilant on everything that we do. We can't just go in there and just take them lightly. This is still an NFL team. It's not like we're facing the Giants. If we're facing the Giants, cool, then I'll be okay. But we still are facing the Rams. They still got Puka Nacua. They still got Cooper Kupp. And they still got the quarterback, Matthew Stafford. So the defense, it could be something. But I think that we can go up against them. I've just got to make sure that our defense does their job against Matthew Stafford and hit him a couple times, make him feel uneasy. Our pass rush has to get there. If our pass rush doesn't get there, it's like, Matthew Stafford can tear us apart. And they have to play sticky coverage. They have to get up on them and don't let them get a free release. Because if they get a free release, then Matthew Stafford is going to find that open man. And they're going to, I'm not going to say win the game, but they're going to make it tighter than it should be. So hopefully our team can do what they're supposed to do.
This is Bryce Huff week.
And if they do, we're going to win it all.
This is Bryce Huff week. I'm feeling it. I feel it in my
Bryce
spirit.
Huff.
Yeah, Bryce Huff.
Bryce Huff. Come
Bryce
on,
Huff going to be that
Come
guy.
On.
Hugh, I did see a stat. Hugh, I have a stat for you. Ready for this? I got a Bryce Huff stat you could hold on to for the rest of the week and the pregame show Sunday. Ready for this?
Yes.
Bryce Huff on Sunday, Hugh, against the Packers, generated a pressure on 100% of his snaps. Hugh, now he only had one snap, but he was one for one.
Yeah, he was out
in
there.
Those.
Hey man, you got to start baby steps, man. Baby steps.
I can't wait for on Sunday at the pregame, Hugh, to be like, listen, every snap
factor.
He was out there this past week.
So you got to ask because
pressure.
You already know what my X factor is going to be. Bryce Huff. Bryce Huff is the X factor.
Do that every week.
Yeah, he's the catalyst.
A catalyst for what?
Hey, hold up. Marv, do I say anything when you come on the air and you give these predictions and give out these bold scores? I let you live. Let me live.
You know what? You're right about that. That's
I don't say a word. Let me live.
I should have kept my intrusive thoughts to myself.
We've been letting you live all season.
Let me live.
We're trying. All right, Marv, we appreciate the phone call. All right, you know, we let you live, Hugh. We do on this show. I mean, we poke at you, but we let you live. And apparently you were living well about an hour ago, so I missed this one. Kyle, what did I miss?
It.
I mean, usually I'm pretty diligent. Today, my mind might be a little bit distracted. I am doing my portion of the show from home today. My daughter's not feeling well, so I'm here. So maybe, you know, I think about an hour ago, Hugh was doing a read, and I probably got up to check on her and see what she was doing. So, Kyle, can you replay for me and the whole audience what I missed an hour ago?
Yeah, so it's been a little while since we've had one of these slip-ups from Hugh.
Yeah.
I don't know if this was like a Freudian slip or he's just really that excited about all the different kinds of bacon, but this is what happened when you walked away from your mic about an hour ago.
Hugh, what are we doing?
No, Joe, I was trying to, because this is what happened. We were talking about bacon this morning. You were asking me about cooking bacon, right? And so I tried to integrate you into the read, you know, cooking for your daughter. And then it took a turn. They got thick wood, hard. They got, and then I lost it. you're reading it, right, and your mind is wandering, and I got to speaking, and then when I realized what I said, I was like, damn, that's
a tough three words to mix up.
That's a rough day. And I'm already getting killed. People that are listening, thank y'all for listening. That read will live in y'all head all day long. They got thick wood, hard. They got a lot of girth. I don't know how Hatfield's gonna feel about that. So.
Well, you know, Bischoff line: any publicity is good publicity.
I'm just saying, though.
I don't know if that's exactly what they signed up for.
They're probably gonna be like, "What the hell is he doing? What's wrong with him?"
They got thick wood, hard. They got.
Try not to sound so excited, man.
I feel like we're going to get a lot of use out of that drop.
Wood,
I mean,
thick
that
wood hard. I hit that thick wood hard part, kind of. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, damn, okay.
Well, there was something about the excitement in your voice that really sold it. That, you know, sometimes you stumble into words and you say it timidly. Now you said that with your full chest.
I said it with passion. I would have rolled him until he told me no. I said it with passion. So I'm probably going to get killed for that one for a while. It's cool. It's cool.
Yeah, that's good. Cool,
Rod's about to call you into his office.
Like, what the
yeah,
hell
that
you
one
doing?
Might be a.
What the hell?
Yeah, and probably going to be mad at us for bringing it back up. But that's all right. We did what we did. All right, from there, let's go to Herb in the Northeast. Hey, Herb.
Oh, wow. Here we go.
What's up there, brother?
What's up, man?
Douglas. Everybody in the past hour has been saying, including a man, Seth Joyner. Okay, the same thing I've been talking about. Bump and run coverage. Don't let nobody get past you. Stay with them. Let's get the interceptions. Let's get the fumbles. Let's play defense like we played this past week and better. The offense will be the offense, okay? We'll move the ball down the field, short passes, whatever we can get. A few long, take a few shots or whatever. But in the end, we get the W. That's what it's all about. Bump and run.
That's
bang,
what it's
bang,
all about, Herb. So you're feeling good about this, Herb, aren't you?
I'm feeling good about this, yes, because this past week they came through and they played. And, you know, we're going to I'm not worried about L.A. As long as we play our defense, we're going to win the game. It's probably going to snow. It looks like snow is coming throughout the game. So get your snow.
Is this an official forecast from Herb? Are you a meteorologist, or official meteorologist?
I've been watching it for the last couple of days. It looks like snow.
You have snow boots for Sunday, Hugh?
Yeah, get your snow cleats on.
I bought a hat today, too. I bought another hat.
You know what's his name? McCoy had that big game in the snow that time. What was that against?
LeSean McCoy against the Lions.
Oh, it was the Lions. Okay.
Oh, yeah. It was the Lions. Detroit, I said. Yeah,
December of 2013. Remember like it was yesterday, Herb.
Yeah, that was a lot. I remember that snow game. So, I think what we got to do with AJ is get him the ball a couple times. Get him maybe on a reverse or something that we can.
Have you read that book that he brought to the sideline?
From the title or something, I can understand the whole thing. The title of the book.
Inner Excellence.
It's a mental thing with him. It's mental, man. He just got paid in the off season. He's no, you know, there's days he's got to understand. There's days that he's going to get 5, 6, 7 touches. There's days he might only get 2 or 3. There might be last week he only got 1. So, you know, you got to live with the movement. So, you know, the movement is, you get you the ball when we can get you the ball. You can't be greedy in this game. Greed gets you nowhere.
You know what? They should have a shirt with that on. You can't be greedy. Herb, listen, we appreciate it. I like the updated forecast. So, guys, prepare for snow. Herb said it's on the way for Sunday. All right, coming up here, Nick Sirianni's press conference. We'll carry that live for you. All your phone calls as well, 215-592-9494. Did your opinion on the Eagles' championship run change after Wild Card Weekend? Yes or no? Where are you at? Plus, we got an awesome clip from Dallas Goedert after his touchdown on Sunday. You're not going to want to miss this. Mic'd up Goedert as he took down the Packers. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
you see yourself in A.J. Brown.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. That's why when everybody said, what is he doing here for? I said, the man is totally focused. This is totally focused. I'm focused on my energy being good energy for the team, and I'm going to focus on me, and I know I can't let this situation take over me. I understand it because he and I are the same dude. I understand what he was doing right there, and I think all of us, a lot of receivers need to learn it. And even do this right here, what he's doing, because it really is brilliant. They got through the game, and he was out there joking when Saquon didn't go all the way and run. You know what I mean? So he it put him back in the right frame of mind, even though he only got one pass. I don't know if the book could have helped me with one pass in a playoff game, but it helped him. And that's good. That's good.
The voices of Michael Irvin and Colin Cowherd. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, Kyle Quinn behind the glass. 215-592-9494. Nick Sirianni coming up at 12:05 today. Maybe we'll get some news on if that guy is going to practice this week, A.J. Brown. Right back to your calls in a second here. Did everything that happened Wildcard Weekend change how you feel about the Eagles making a Super Bowl run? Yes or no? Hugh, what'd you make of that was interesting. Irvin saying he kind of saw himself in A.J. and then the way maybe they're both emotional players. And he liked what A.J. did with the book.
Yeah, because I did too. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, when we talked about it and I saw it, I had the initial reaction that everybody else did. I was like, wow, he did that on purpose. And that's when I started to, you know, dig a little deeper, find out about the book, look at some of the reviews, and then go online and just see what other people's thought process was. And that's exactly what he did. You would rather – see, AJ's in a precarious position right now. It's because everything that he does, it gets magnified. And sometimes it gets magnified for the negative because a lot of people don't have the depth. I'm not taking shots at anybody, but it's the truth. A lot of people don't have the depth to look beyond what they see. You know, because I saw a lot of pundits on television the other day. They saw it, and they immediately thought it was a negative. Now, knowing what we know about AJ, if he would have acted a fool, he would have played into the narrative that they've already spun for him. You know, and but instead, he read the book, and he centered himself. He got back to where he needed to be because maybe he was frustrated. I don't think it's a far stretch to say that he was frustrated. He only had one catch during the game. But he refocused, and he didn't do anything that was detrimental to the team. But when you hear other people talk about it, and when they have something to say about it, it is detrimental to the team. How? He saw himself getting outside of himself, and he knew that in that moment it was not called for. So what did he do? He went back to something that allowed him to center himself. He read a book on the sideline and got back to where he needed to be, and the team won. But he doesn't get a pass because to a lot of people, he's already a cancer or he's already a bad guy. And instead of looking at it like for what it really was, he didn't want he's an emotional guy. He didn't want his emotion to take over and mess up the moment. So I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I didn't either. Especially when, like you said, and we kind of dove into it on Monday, and it's been talked about the last couple of days what that book was, and boy, that author is probably the happiest guy in the world.
Oh
right
no,
now
he's blown up. He's blown up now. Yeah,
I know. I see him doing interviews. The one thing that he is Hugh. The one thing I think is really interesting from the way you thought it could have played out versus it did. Let's just say he doesn't have the book. He doesn't read the book. He is frustrated on the sideline. Hugh, he may be and I don't know what he was feeling, but if he was frustrated and he did act out on the sideline instead of reading, he may have just been frustrated that he's not feeling himself, right? We know he's not. He wasn't running himself, but it would have come off as he's upset at the quarterback, he's upset at the offense, just throw me the damn ball, the old Keyshawn Johnson thing. Like, there's a million reasons for AJ to maybe feel some frustration on Sunday. Like you said, he only had one catch, but I don't think it would have come off. Like, no one would have known why he was annoyed. It would have just been, oh, he's annoyed again, even though this time it might just be his knees bothering him and he can't run the same way he normally does.
I would venture to say it's the latter, Joe. I think that when you talk about a guy of his caliber and how he sees himself and perceives himself, he wants to be one of the guys that's a heavy contributor to the success of the football team. Yeah. That's basically what Mike Irvin was talking about, how in a playoff game he was a non-factor. That's probably how AJ felt, knowing that he wasn't 100% and he was a non-factor for the most part. But he is a factor because his presence out there means a lot. And that's probably what he had to work through. And you know what else I did when I saw that? I looked at his teammates around him to see what their reaction was. And to be honest, because who was it? Schmitty was sitting right beside him. Schmitty, it was like it was no big deal. Like, that's why I felt like it was not a thing, because it felt to me the Schmitty's reaction was something of, this is something he's seen before. You know, I know Jalen said he hadn't seen him read the book before, but hell, if we're being honest, Jalen sits on the other side of the bench by himself for the most part, so how would he see it? But when Jalen said that, a lot of people took that and ran with it. Oh, you know, Jalen's trying to say he lied. No, Jalen was being honest, because he was like, hell, he sits on the other side of the bench. So I just think that sometimes, especially when you have a player like him, you need to give him the benefit of the doubt, because he's said a lot. He's been through a lot. And he's a guy that I think for the most part is misunderstood, because I hear a lot of people talk about, when they talk about AJ, malcontent, cancer, and all other stuff, and I don't think that's fair. I think he's a passionate person. I think he wears his heart on his sleeves. But at the end of the day, he wants to win.
So here's my question now. Should the three of us start having books when we're all having some, you know, challenging times? Like on Fridays,
yeah,
when people call you out and call you plant-based and everything, human scared. And
definitely.
When Jay in West Philly calls me and wants to argue with every point I make, when callers are making Kyle lose his mind behind the glass, should we now have books in studio, Hugh, to just center ourselves during the show? Maybe it would help us.
You know what it is? You know what is funny? Because I talked to my cousin about a week ago, and he said, a lot of times you don't need a book. You just do the slow chuckle. You know, when you're trying to recenter
you
yourself.
You do that a lot. You're good at the slow chuckle, would you?
You just go, I heard that, you know. Something like that, because you just
you're
yourself.
Better at the slow chuckle.
You
got to
do the slow chuckle, man, because at the end of the day, it's bad for chemistry. You know what I mean? Sometimes, especially when you're trying to win, it's bad for chemistry. You just got to go ahead and let it be what it is, do the slow chuckle, and just keep it moving. So that's what he did.
Keep moving. All right, we're going to keep track of Hugh's slow chuckles and my yells instead of reading books. Our Twitter question, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about it and schedule your evaluation, PIDentalCenter.com. All right, let's get to the phones here, your phone calls. And about 10 minutes from now, apparently I missed something already on the show today. I must not be locked in, because I missed something that Kyle wants to replay for us.
They'll cook your bacon and take care of your baby girl, man. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's why you guys are here to help me out. Bruce, what's up, buddy?
If you don't turn that damn TV down,
work,
man.
I'm here.
If you don't turn that TV down, man.
No, that wasn't TV. I was actually on a discussion right quick.
No, Bruce is making that bread, Hugh. I mean, he's working.
Okay, okay. My bad, Bruce. My bad.
That's right. Hey, but look. But hey, man. I'm so glad. I'm just so glad that we're talking about this, man. Hey, man. Come on, man. You plant-based about Sunday? I mean, I don't get it.
I am a little plant-based. Yeah, I am. I mean, Bruce, I'm a little worried about this one. Yep.
Well, you know what? See, here's the thing. And Kyle, you know, made a good point earlier about why he's not worried. And I'm pretty much subscribed to that. And a couple of other things right off the bat. You know, for one thing, here's the thing. People are bent out of shape because of the performance of the Rams, and that should be a non-factor. First of all, that offensive line for Minnesota, they're not going to be able to do that against our offensive line. And again, it's the defense and our ball control, and we know how to beat them. Other factors, and this is the other thing that's not really talked about too much, aside from the weather, is their lead tight end get hurt in the game. You know, he got knocked out. He got some kind of chest contusion. He's not going to be 100%.
Apparently he was spitting up blood after the game, McVay said.
Yeah,
so we'll see what his status is.
Yeah, and he was the one that was killing him. So I don't think he's going to even be available. So with that said, there is no way in the world just with all those factors involved, the weather involved, this is going to be like you said, hey, you know, this is a business decision type of game. And I'm telling you, I predicted my last prediction was 31-13. This one,
is my prediction again is but this time it's going to be 27. I'm going 27-13. 27-13.
Oh, another blowout?
Look,
it could happen, Bruce, but man, when the other team has a coach like that and a quarterback like that, I don't feel as strongly as I did last week. Eagles should still win this game, but I've got nerves. I mean, you know it, Bruce. I've got them.
No, it's a legit. I'm not looking past them, but I'm just looking at the matchups on defense. They are not going to be our defense is going to I I'll entertain that for a hot minute. Now, here's the thing where that could change, right? And this is the reason why I think it's a mistake for everybody to say, you know what, we got the defense and good running game. If we have one or two injuries or incidents where we lose one or two key players to that game to the conditions, now the dynamics change. And this is the reason why, you know, we cannot settle and say, okay, we're just going to rely on a running game. What I'm going to be looking for is for Kellen Moore and to the extent Sirianni be more aggressive on play calling and get some better plays. We got to get some stuff going up the field, in the middle of the field. There were hardly any
passes. We rarely do that. I mean, they don't use the middle of the field much. And, Bruce, we appreciate it. He was mentioning the Rams defense there. And, you know, we know the last time we faced them, we ran all over him. Saquon, that was the game he kind of put himself in the MVP mix. How much credence do you put in how much their defense has improved? Because, Hugh, you look at their numbers since they played the Eagles, right? So they lost to the Eagles on November 24th. The Eagles scored 37. Next week, they beat the Saints 21-14. All right. The next week, they got in that shootout with Buffalo, and it was a really high-scoring game. They allowed 42 points.
Mm-hmm.
But since then, here is the points allowed for the Rams. 6 against the 49ers, 9 against the Jets, 9 against the Cardinals. I don't count week 18 because they sat their starters. And then the playoff game a few days ago, they allowed 9. So, Hugh, they haven't allowed even 10 points in a game since December 8th. I don't know if that's just a hot run because they faced some teams that weren't that good or if they turned their defense around. It's rare you see a team in the NFL allowed less than 10 points for one month straight. That's pretty good.
Yeah, but did they get bigger since the last time we saw them?
I doubt it.
Did they get stronger during the course of the season? Because that was the thing, Joe. We leaned on them. We beat them up front. And if they're going to have to try to figure out how to beat us schematically. Because if we go man for man, mano a mano, they're not big enough up front. Unless something's changed where the blocking techniques or, you know, they decide not to play on the line of scrimmage and just shoot gaps and just hope for the best or something like that. That's the only way I see them being able to match up with us physically. And, you know, it's not like our offensive linemen are slow. They're pretty quick guys. So I don't feel like they're going to be – the matchup doesn't favor them up front. That's what I'm trying to say. So you're going to have to be creative in the way that you call that game in order to generate pressure and even some run blitzes. Because the one thing that I would say if I'm the Rams that I do not want to happen, I don't want to get Saquon Barkley going downhill. So in order for me to stop that from happening, I gotta blitz him on rundown sometimes. I gotta pick my poison and I gotta get after him a little bit. Gotta be real crafty in the way that I call this defense coming up this weekend.
Let's talk to Marv in Northeast Philly. What's up, Marv?
Hey, how's it going, y'all?
Hey, Marv. What's up, buddy?
Living the dream, man. I'm not worried about this game, but I'm not going to take it easy. I'm not going to take it light. Like, oh, yeah, the Eagles is going to go in there and blow them out. Because this is the playoffs. This is any given Sunday. And we have to be vigilant on everything that we do. We can't just go in there and just take them lightly. This is still an NFL team. It's not like we're facing the Giants. If we're facing the Giants, cool, then I'll be okay. But we still are facing the Rams. They still got Puka Nacua. They still got Cooper Kupp. And they still got the quarterback, Matthew Stafford. So the defense, it could be something. But I think that we can go up against them. I've just got to make sure that our defense does their job against Matthew Stafford and hit him a couple times, make him feel uneasy. Our pass rush has to get there. If our pass rush doesn't get there, it's like, Matthew Stafford can tear us apart.
And they have to play sticky coverage. They have to get up on them and don't let them get a free release. Because if they get a free release, then Matthew Stafford is going to find that open man. And they're going to, I'm not going to say win the game, but they're going to make it tighter than it should be. So hopefully our team can do what they're supposed to do.
This is Bryce Huff week.
And if they do, we're going to win it all.
This is Bryce Huff week. I'm feeling it. I feel it in my
spirit. Bryce Huff.
Yeah, Bryce Huff.
Bryce Huff. Come
Bryce
on,
Huff going to be that
Come
guy.
On.
Hugh, I did see a stat. Hugh, I have a stat for you. Ready for this?
Yes.
I got a Bryce Huff stat you could hold on to for the rest of the week and the pregame show Sunday. Ready for this?
Yes.
Bryce Huff on Sunday, Hugh, against the Packers, generated a pressure on 100% of his snaps, Hugh. Now he only had one snap, but he was one for one.
Yeah, he was out
in
there.
Those.
Hey, man, you got to start baby steps, man. Baby steps.
I can't wait for on Sunday at the pregame, Hugh, to be like, listen, every snap
factor.
He was out there this past week.
So you got to ask because you already know what my X factor is going to be. Bryce Huff. Bryce Huff is the X factor.
Do that every week.
Yeah, he's the catalyst.
A catalyst for what?
Hey, hold up. Marv, do I say anything when you come on the air and you give these predictions and give out these bold scores? I let you live. Let me live.
You know what? You're right about that. That's
I don't say a word. Let me live.
I should have kept my intrusive thoughts to myself.
We've been letting you live all season.
Let me live.
We're trying. All right, Marv, we appreciate the phone call. All right, you know, we let you live, Hugh. That, we do on this show. I mean, we poke at you, but we let you live. And apparently you were living well about an hour ago, so I missed this one. Kyle, what did I miss?
It.
I mean, usually I'm pretty diligent. Today, my mind might be a little bit distracted. I am doing my portion of the show from home today. My daughter's not feeling well, so I'm here. So maybe, you know, I think about an hour ago, Hugh was doing a read, and I probably got up to check on her and see what she was doing. So, Kyle, can you replay for me and the whole audience what I missed an hour ago?
Yeah, so it's been a little while since we've had one of these slip-ups from Hugh.
Yeah.
I don't know if this was like a Freudian slip or he's just really that excited about all the different kinds of bacon, but this is what happened when you walked away from your mic.
Hugh, what are we doing?
No, Joe, I was trying to, because this is what happened. We were talking about bacon this morning. You were asking me about cooking bacon, right? And so I tried to integrate you into the read, you know, cooking for your daughter. And then it took a turn. They got thick wood, hard. They got, and then I lost it. Then you're reading it, right? And your mind is wandering. And I got to speaking, and then when I realized what I said, I was like, damn, that's
a tough three words to mix up.
Like, I was like, yeah, that's a rough day. And I'm already getting killed. People that are listening, thank y'all for listening. That read will live in y'all head all day long. They got thick wood, hard. They got a lot of girth. I don't know how half feels going to feel about that.
Well, you know, the old Eric Bischoff line, any publicity is good publicity.
I'm just saying, though. They,
I don't know if that's exactly what they signed up for.
They're probably going to be like, what the hell is he doing? What's wrong with him? They got thick wood, hard. They got.
Try not to sound so excited, man.
I feel like we're going to get a lot of use out of that drop.
I mean, thick wood hard. I hit that thick wood hard part kind of, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, damn, okay.
Well, there was something about the excitement in your voice that really sold it. That, you know, sometimes you stumble into words and you say it timidly. Now, you said that with your full chest.
I said it with passion. I would have rolled him until he told me no. I said it with passion. So I'm probably going to get killed for that one for a while. It's cool. It's cool.
Yeah, that's good.
Rod's about to call you in his office.
Like, what the
hell
that
you one
doing?
Might be a.
What the hell?
Yeah, and probably going to be mad at us for bringing it back up. But that's all right. We did what we did. All right, from there, let's go to Herb in the Northeast. Hey, Herb.
Oh, wow. Here we go.
What's up there, brother?
What's up, man?
Douglas. Everybody in the past hour has been saying, including a man, Seth Joyner, okay, the same thing I've been talking about. Bump and run coverage. Don't let nobody get past you. Stay with them. Let's get the interceptions. Let's get the fumbles. Let's play defense like we played this past week and better. The offense will be the offense, okay? We'll move the ball down the field. Short passes, whatever we can get. A few long, take a few shots or whatever.
in the end, we get the W. That's what it's all about. Bump and run.
That's what it's
bang,
all about, Herb. So you're feeling good about this, Herb, aren't you?
I'm feeling good about this, yes, because this past week they came through and they played. And, you know, we're going to I'm not worried about L.A. As long as we play our defense, we're going to win the game. It's probably going to snow. It looks like snow is coming throughout the game. So get your snow.
Is this an official forecast from Herb? Are you a meteorologist? You're an official meteorologist?
I've been watching it for the last couple of days. It looks like snow.
You have snow boots for Sunday, Hugh?
Yeah, get your snow cleats on.
I bought a hat today, too. I bought another hat.
You know what's his name? McCoy had that big game in the snow that time. What was that against?
LeSean McCoy against the Lions.
Oh, it was the Lions. Okay.
Oh, yeah. It was the Lions. Detroit, I said. Yeah,
December of 2013. Remember like it was yesterday, Herb.
Yeah, that was a lot. I remember that snow game. So, I think what we got to do with AJ is get him the ball a couple times, get him maybe on a reverse or something that we can.
Have you read that book that he brought to the sideline?
From the title or something, I can understand the whole thing. The title of the book.
Excellence.
It's a mental thing with him. It's mental, man. He just got paid in the off season. He's there's days he's got to understand. There's days that he's going to get 5, 6, 7 touches. There's days he might only get 2 or 3. There might be last week he only got 1. So you got to live with the movement. So the movement is. You get you the ball when we can get you the ball. You can't be greedy in this game. Greed gets you nowhere.
You know what? They should have a shirt with that on. You can't be greedy. Herb, listen, we appreciate it. I like the updated forecast. So, guys, prepare for snow. Herb said it's on the way for Sunday. All right, coming up here, Nick Sirianni's press conference. We'll carry that live for you. All your phone calls as well, 215-592-9494. Did your opinion on the Eagles' championship run change after Wild Card Weekend? Yes or no? Where are you at? Plus, we got an awesome clip from Dallas Goedert after his touchdown on Sunday. You're not going to want to miss this. Mic'd up Goedert as he took down the Packers. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.